once again, our first reading and the gospel connect very closely. They really centre on perseverance. You've got Moses there only winning the battle when his arms are held up, and then the battle goes the other way when he gets tired and his arms drop. And then in the gospel we have the parable, the story of the widow and the unjust judge. And she kept coming back and coming back to him until finally he said, oh, I'll give her what she wants just to get rid of her, basically. So it is a parable of perseverance. And then how we persevere in the Christian life, particularly those for leadership, the methodology there is in the second reading, continuing Paul's letter. It's a long letter, it's a short letter on the scale of Scripture, but it's a long letter to Paul on how to be a true leader. And he starts that off by saying, just remember, you were raised with the Scriptures. Never, ever forget them. And the words that Paul gives to Timothy here are words that we should take on board every day of our life. In fact, the church tries that by giving, especially to the clergy and religious, what we call the divine office, that connects us daily, three times at least a day, to the Holy Scriptures, to the tradition of the church, and to the unfolding of the divine mystery of God on this planet. It's all immersed in the prayer of the church. In this parish, we pray the prayer of the church on Friday morning at 8:45 every Friday morning. Just thought I'd throw that little ad in there for you here. Perseverance. Now, when it comes to prayer, that's a battle. Perseverance is a real battle. It's the thing that we have to keep disciplining ourselves to do. And I don't think there's anybody that hasn't had a struggle in persevering with their prayer. Perseverance comes in several shapes and sizes. And the one that always comes to mind when I hear this reading and I try to relate it to a story that is very real comes from the archdiocese, the old priests of the archdiocese, when we had lots of Irish priests. Some of you may remember them. We have none now. And I won't name the priests because a couple of people with greyer hair than me will know exactly who I'm talking about. The old Irish priests had a tradition of being very tough on the young priests because they had it tough themselves and they felt that that was the right thing to do. This is how you harden these boys up. You stop making them soft and you treat them hard and harsh, it seemed. And this priest, he was in a town near here, and this is a true story. He had a new young priest appointed to him, and the young priest was only a short fellow, a bit like a jockey, I'm told. I did not know him, a bit like a jockey. And the other old Irish priest was a much bigger man. And so the young priest presented as a bit of a pushover to the old priest. And all of the priests of that era said, oh, this poor young guy, he's going to cop it when he goes to blah, blah. So the young fellow turns up and the old Irish priest says to him, don't you be leaving the... My Irish accent is hideous. Don't you be leaving the presbytery without telling me. Don't you be going anywhere out of this house without telling me. Yes, Father. So the young priest quickly learned that after lunch, the old priest would go and have a siesta. He'd go and have a little afternoon nap in the Roman tradition. So the young priest would wait until about 15 minutes after Father had gone to his room, because by that stage he would have just started to go to sleep. And then the young priest would go up to the old priest's door and... Yes, what do you want? Waking him up. And the young priest said, I'd like to be writing a letter to my mother, but I don't have any paper. Do you mind if I go down to the newsagents to get some paper? Yeah, that's fine. Get out of here. And so the young priest waited another 15 minutes. Woke him up again. I haven't got a pen. Well, there's no ink in my pen. Do you mind if I go back to the newsagents and get a pen? Yeah, get the hell out of here. Waited another 15, 20 minutes till he knew that the priest was gone off to sleep again. What do you want? He says, I finished my letter, Father, but I'd like to post it. Get the out of here, he said, and don't ever be disturbing me again. The young priest never had to ask permission to go anywhere, had free rein of the parish whenever he wanted to. Perseverance. He knew how to put it to the old guy, and the old fellow thought that he could take charge of the young bloke. The young bloke might have been short in stature, but he was big in perseverance. He knew exactly how to get through and get around this so-called crankier old priest. And he got what he wanted, and then he was left alone, and they probably became great mates. We never hear the happy ending of these stories as priests. We only ever hear the juicy bits. When it comes to the gospel today, the widow, please remember that the widow, she was there on her own asking for her rights, which meant not only did she not have a husband, it meant that she never had a son either. So she was totally on her own. She was out in the public. She wasn't having a private conversation behind closed doors. This woman had nothing. And in fact, in Hebrew, the word widow actually means the lone voice. They go together. The lone voice or the single voice. So she had absolutely nothing. He had the power, and he had no sense of justice whatsoever. So it's a story. So don't think that God is the unjust judge in the story. That's not how God behaves at all. But the widow represents perseverance, represents that small voice crying in the wilderness, petitioning God for whatever it might be. And that's very often us. Unusually, and a bit sadly, I think, that the church's tradition is that we pray to God persistently to ask him to help us in some way. We want something from him, yet we know in the back of our mind God knows what we need before we even ask him. Yet we still put it out there, Lord, if you just do this for me or for us. As if, and this is the tradition, as if we can change the will and the mind of God. Now, that's been a bit of the practice of the church, but the other practice that exists in the church comes from the words from St. Augustine. It says, God delays in giving us what we want or what we think we need because our hearts have to be given time to expand. I've just changed the wording a little bit there. God delays in giving us what we want because he wants our hearts to expand. And that is also a tradition of the church. But unfortunately, it doesn't get the press or the good press or the good time that first tradition that I spoke about gets. Where, please God, can I change your will? Can I change your mind? God does not answer our prayers in our time, as St. Augustine says, because he wants our hearts to change. And so the time when we persevere in prayer and we don't feel that we're getting where we need to go or where we would like to go, the reason behind that is, in the prayer tradition of the church, is because it is about us, not about God. It is about us changing perhaps our routine, changing our language, stop talking and start listening. It is about us going through a transformation. And that can't happen all over where blah, blah, blah. Did you get that, God? Did you get it? I'll say it again and I'll keep come back. I'll do it 9 times and I'll call it a novena. There's nothing wrong with God's hearing. Nothing. There's a lot wrong with the way we approach the conversation with God a lot of the time. And so, as coming from the second reading to Timothy there, patience is a big part of perseverance. It's a huge part of it. Patience is probably the word, or the lack of patience is probably the sentence or two words that are used mostly in the confessional. It is the thing that most of us struggle with. So this might be an opportunity for us now to knock on the door like the young priest, as it were, and just say to God, I am here. Here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? Rather than knock on the door and tell God, this is what you've got to do. Perhaps that's how perseverance in prayer is played out in a healthy way. It's challenging, but I think it's healthy because we know that God is listening, but am I? Quite often, I don't think we are. We are too distracted with what it is that we're trying to do rather than who it is that we should become. The bottom line in perseverance in prayer is use your scripture and don't give up.